Didn't do turn with me in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. If you're using one of the church Bibles, that's page number 454, page number 454, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, and we're looking just at the first six verses this evening. Ecclesiastes is a book which describes to us the frustrations and struggles and injustices of living in a fallen world. The themes of Ecclesiastes are very familiar to us. The note on which the book begins, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And it expresses that sense of emptiness, that sense of futility, that sense of frustration of life in a sinful world. Indeed, it goes further in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. The preacher says, "So I hated life, because what is done under the sun was grievous to me, for all is vanity and a striving after the wind." Now, perhaps that sounds very discouraging. Perhaps that sounds very gloomy. But the brutal reality is that all of us know is that that's what life feels like sometimes. Sadly, we know from our own experience that the Christian life can be very tough. The righteous suffer injustice, while sometimes the wicked prosper. The godly believer endures hardship and sickness and disappointment, and the others, who may not be godly, seem to pass through the world relatively unscathed. In other words, life in a fallen world is broken because we're all living under the curse. We're all suffering the effects of sin, and life looks and feels challenging and even unfair. And Ecclesiastes makes that abundantly clear. But the purpose of the book is not to make us depressed. It's not to drive us to despair. Rather, the purpose of Ecclesiastes is to force us to face up to those brutal realities of life in a fallen world and to challenge us about how we are going to respond. What are we going to do in consequence of all of this? Well, you might say, life is so discouraging and it seems to be so pointless and it seems to be so unfair, I'm inclined to give up. And Ecclesiastes comes to us and says, no, no, don't give up, persevere. Perhaps sometimes you look at the news or you read the news or you listen to the news and you're tempted to abandon hope. Perhaps you're tempted to become cynical about life and about this present world. But Ecclesiastes says, no, in the midst of that suffering and in the midst of that injustice and disappointment, put your hope in the Lord. Persevere in godliness, and ultimately you will be vindicated. And if you want a summary of the point of Ecclesiastes, just turn over one page in your Bible to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and you can see how it closes. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. So the message of Ecclesiastes is, yes, life is tough, life is difficult, life is unjust, but keep on going. And the verses we're going to look at tonight particularly emphasize that theme. If you're a Christian believer tonight, these verses are especially for you. As a Christian believer, keep on going in Christian life. Keep on going in Christian service. Keep serving the Lord. Keep doing good. Keep trusting in God. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. That's the message of Ecclesiastes tonight. What does that expression mean, cast your bread upon the waters? Well, when we think about bread nowadays, we probably think of a sliced loaf from Hovis or Warburton's. I'm not sure if they're the same thing now. Or perhaps a sliced loaf from your local supermarket. And casting bread upon the waters, the closest we come to casting bread upon the waters is when we take that sliced loaf or perhaps the stale end of it, down to the local park, and we feed the ducks. We throw the bread upon the waters. Well, that's not what Ecclesiastes is talking about tonight. Perhaps some of us, because we live in Finchley, perhaps we've seen some Jewish people throwing bread into flowing water to symbolize the forgiveness of sins. The imagery is very clear. You throw the bread upon the waters, this symbolizes your sins, and the waters take them away. Well, no, it's not that. That's not the way in which Ecclesiastes is using this image either. In fact, that would be very alarming, because Ecclesiastes says, and they will return to you after many days. Well, you don't want that, do you? If you're trying to get rid of your sins, you don't want them coming back again. So that's not what Ecclesiastes is talking about here. So what's going on here? Some suggest that he's talking about the Egyptian practice where they would sow their seed while the waters of the Nile were still in flood. Now, it seems like a hopeless exercise, but you go out as a farmer and there you are, you can just see water as far as the eye can see. And you paddle out into the water and you throw your seed into the water. And it seems like a completely hopeless exercise. It seems completely futile. You may think to yourself, what on earth am I playing at? I'm throwing this good, valuable grain into the water. It's just going to fall into the water. It's going to rot. It's going to decay. And nothing is going to come of it. Ah, but you see, the Egyptians are experienced farmers. They know better. They know that very soon those floodwaters will recede, and they look forward to the seed finding its way into the soft mud and germinating, and ultimately it will bear a wonderful harvest. So perhaps that's what he's talking about. Cast your bread upon the waters, and after many days it will return to you. Is that it? Well, perhaps most likely of all, the writer is using the imagery of sea trade. He's talking about sending goods out on ships to distant lands. Now, we have a little glimmer from 1 Kings chapter 10 of what was going on in Solomon's day in terms of sea trade. We are told that the king had a fleet of ships in Tarshish, and once every 3 years, the ships used to come bringing gold, silver, ivory, apes, and peacocks. So that's a very long cycle, isn't it? 3 years. You send the ships off from Tarshish, and 3 years later, they come back laden with luxury goods. It sounds great, doesn't it? But that's a very, very risky business. Ships are extremely expensive. And then you've got to consider the wages of all of the sailors and the crew and all of the support and all of that. And you send them off, and you don't see anything for 3 years. What if those ships are going to be wrecked on the open sea? What if the pirates are going to take them over? What if bandits are going to steal the cargo? Anything could happen. You've got to wait and wait and wait and wait. Perhaps it will return fully laden. Perhaps it will not. But nevertheless, Ecclesiastes is encouraging us to take the risk. Cast your bread upon the waters. Yes, engage in trade, even though it be risky, for you will find it after many days. Now you can see immediately the application to our Christian lives. Perhaps you've been a Christian for many years and you reflect on the countless hours you have spent serving in church ministries and helping and serving fellow believers. And now you're weary. And you look back and you say, what difference have I made in my life? What will become of all of that hard work that I have expended for the Lord? Or perhaps you're a new believer and you're discouraged. You tried to witness to your colleague at work about Christ, but it wasn't well received. You got a hostile reception. And so you say to yourself, I don't think I'm going to try that again. Why should I bother? It won't be able to make any difference to anybody. But the preacher of Ecclesiastes responds, no. Cast your bread upon the waters. Whether you be a seasoned believer or whether you be newly converted, keep on serving the Lord. Very often, it will look like a futile exercise, like those Egyptian farmers casting the seed into the waters. But it will bear fruit, and bread will return to you. It's like the merchants sending off the ships. Well, it'll probably end in shipwreck. Well, no, invest in it. and keep on going, because on balance your bread will return to you after many days. In short, what this text is saying to us is to be bold, to be generous, to take a risk, to be positive. It's that we should not stand still, but we should go forward. We should not draw back, but rather we should advance. In a troubled, in a suffering world which is full of struggles, we should not be discouraged, we should not be despair, we should not give up, we should not let our hands hang down at our sides. No, we should cast our bread upon the waters, for after many days you will find it again. And I'm just going to bring three simple points from the text. First of all, it's a call to action. It's a call to action. None of us knows what the future will bring. Indeed, none of us knows with certainty about tomorrow. And if you don't know what the future will bring, that doesn't help with forward planning, does it? Think of the farmer. He's planting his seeds. He would really like to get some rain so that when the seeds are in the ground, they will germinate and grow. But he doesn't know when it's going to rain and when it's not. So when should he plant? He watches the wind. He keeps an eye on the clouds. He doesn't have a weather app on his phone just yet. But the problem is, the more that he looks at the sky and the more he looks at the clouds, the more uncertain he becomes, and he never gets round to planting. Or perhaps at harvest time, he would really like the weather to stay dry because he doesn't want the grain to get wet and rot. But he doesn't know when the rain will fall. So when should he harvest? He anxiously watches. He anxiously waits. The harvest never happens, and he and his family starve. Look at verse 4. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. The lesson is very simple. If you wait for the perfect time, you will never do anything. There is no perfect plan. There are always things beyond our control. Oh, we know that when the clouds are full, they will bring rain. Look at the beginning of verse 3. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. Yes, that's great. But we don't know when that will be. We know that sometimes a tree might be blown over by the wind, but we don't know when it will fall or which direction it will come down. Look at the end of verse 3. If a tree falls to the south or the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. Will we get lots of snow and ice this winter? We don't know. Perhaps the councils will invest vast amounts of money in snow clearing equipment and salt and sand. But then we end up with a mild winter, and then the council is blamed for wasting all of that money. Will the stock market grow or crash? Should you invest or not? What will Rachel Reeves decide to do in the budget? Do we need to invest in defence, or is all this sabre-rattling from Russia just empty talk? Well, we don't know. Look at verse 5. As you do not know what is the way of the wind, or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. You don't know the future by definition. And so our uncertainty paralyses us into inactivity. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ told a parable of a master with three servants. He was going away, and he entrusted them with some talents to invest until he returned. The servant with five talents got busy, and he prospered. The servant with two talents also did well. But the servant with one talent looked at his talent, and he looked at the market, and he thought, I think a stock market crash is coming really soon. Well, I could invest in that company, but I don't know. I have some reservations. Well, I could put it in a savings account over here, but the rates are really low at the moment. And so what did he do? He buried his talent in the ground. He was so paralyzed with fear about what might or might not happen that he decided to do nothing. And sadly, we know that when the master returned, he was condemned. Well, so it can be for us. What will we do? The message of Ecclesiastes 11 is that if we do nothing, we will fail. The message of Ecclesiastes is do not be lazy. Look at verse 6. In the morning, sow your seed. In the evening, do not withhold your hand. Don't prevaricate. Don't spend your whole life